We are back from a great Thanksgiving Day episode with my good friend Rod Buchan. He gave us a preview to everything he's got going on, which is exciting always for me as someone gets to watch his success unfold rapidly. Rod, thank you for your first episode out of four last week when we recorded.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's always fun talking to you because you inspire me.
Right back at you. And as we're recording this, it's a little bit of a gloomier day for us here in Florida. It is a little chilly. My old New York roots would be screaming at me, how can I be such a wimp? But I'll tell you right now, I am definitely inside. The air conditioning's not on for a change.
Yeah, I got you. Same down here.
Oh, man. Well, we previewed a little bit. If you stuck around to the end of the last episode, where today is going to be another leadership-based episode. Rod's specialty is leadership. He's a coach. He does so much more. We heard all about that. Be sure to reach out to him in the episode description. I'll have his email address for you then again to have that free discovery call. But for today, we're going to dive into this article, 25 Leadership Lessons from Millionaire Business Owners. So there's going to be a lot of great advice in here. We're going to pick up from when we left off last time, where if you remember, we talked about lighthouses, how leaders are lighthouses, not weather vanes, and we're going to talk a little more about that. After that, we're going to touch on setting the tone with your employees, with your organization overall. And then to round out the second episode, before we head into episodes three and four in just a few weeks, we're going to also touch on prioritizing and delegating, all ways to improve our businesses, all ways to improve as a leader. And once we do that, the possibilities, the networking, the collaborations you get from being a good leader, I can attest to are truly invaluable. Rod, let's go back to that last conversation. We talked about lighthouses, how leaders are lighthouses, not the opposite. Let's talk a little bit before diving into what this article has to say.
Well, and if you think about it, every entrepreneur is like a captain on a ship. He's got a crew to move from where they are to where they want to be. And I talked about the importance of really clarifying what that destination is. And if you think about a captain of a ship, you think about the fact that they, particularly at night when you're not sure what direction you're going into, you look for a lighthouse, you look for a beacon, you look for something that everybody on the ship can focus on and believe that this is their destination and they can work together to make it happen. So the idea being, you don't want to chase the sparkly articles or the shiny objects that are so easy, stay the course, because if you go in first to the left, then to the right, because it seemed like a good idea at the time, it's going to confuse the troops. It's also going to sap your energy from accomplishing your critical goals. So think about a single destination, which you envision your company to be. And then let's plot a course to help you get from where you are today to where you want to be. And again, don't follow the wind or the trends necessarily because they can be fickle. And you want to be the pillar of confidence, that people want to follow.
I love that advice in entrepreneurship, especially. We're not alone. We can't do things alone. We have to plan out. We need to get feedback from other people. And a coach is just the perfect person to do that. I can attest to Rod's great work with me over the years, helping me find that lighthouse when I really needed it and found myself lost. But let me dive into this article a bit, and then we'll get Rod's feedback again here. Where weathering changes at Primerica that often led to uncertainty and chaos helped me develop a leadership philosophy steeped in being someone my teams can turn to for guidance, even during the most turbulent times, says John Addison, who is CEO at Addison Leadership Group and the leadership editor over at Success Magazine. He continued, whether it was another leadership change or trying to save the company during the recession, my people could say I would make the best decision for their future and stand firm on that decision, even if it wasn't popular with everyone. Being a weather vane twisting in the wind wasn't going to instill the confidence that they very much needed, so I had to learn to be a lighthouse, someone they knew would be standing strong once the storm passed. Thankfully, his mentor, Primerica founder Art Williams, demonstrated being a lighthouse for many years, and he followed that example. He continued, through my writing, speaking engagements, and position as leadership editor for Success Magazine, I am able to share my leadership message with a wider audience and play a role in shaping future generations of leaders. My hope through sharing my message is that one day we will have more leaders who are lighthouses and far fewer who are weather vanes. Rod, what's your takeaway from hearing that little write-up?
Well, obviously, the one who is a lighthouse has a lot of self-confidence and personal strength and belief in the what they're doing is the right thing. Okay. And being able to share that belief with ultimate confidence that we can get through whatever obstacles the company is feeling right now, or in this case, the ship is being battered by a storm. It really instills confidence, not only in the direct reports to the CEO, but to everybody that's got to execute the mission and the vision for the company.
I think that is very well said. Having to be on the same page is so important. And what skill sets would you encourage leaders out there to work on to become a more effective leader, Rod? What characteristics? We mentioned here in this article how he wanted to be someone that was standing strong even after the storm passed. What other characteristics make up an effective leader like yourself?
Realizing that as the leader, you're always on stage. People look for you to set the stage for how they should behave, not just what you say to them, but what they observe you doing on a day-to-day basis. Are you coming to work with pride in your stride and the ability to be positive and to pass that message on, or are you coming in sluggish and worried about what's going to happen? Whatever persona you have walking through the door is the one that your troops are going to see and realize that, oh, maybe this is a little shaky. Should I continue to be a part of the team? Do I want to maybe look for another job? No, part of what you're doing is re-recruiting your team to embrace the vision of where you're headed and why they see that their contribution can be important.
Incredibly said. Setting the stage rolls right into setting the tone, which is another area that we are talking about today. In the article, we learned here, quote, you can go through thousands of dollars in consultants to shape your culture, but it will still come back to the owner's approach, says Christy Hedges, leadership consultant and coach at the Hedges Company. If you're motivated and happy in your role, then others will follow your lead. And if you're burned out and tired, that energy will permeate everything. Owners need to make sure they shape their role and their company to make them fulfilled and excited. If you put yourself last, you're hurting the entire organization. And that is very true, of course. Going to shout out someone I was just working with on a book project, Jerry, where we did a project on attracting, recruiting, and retaining employees. And it all starts at the top, the company culture. Here you see her talk about how it doesn't matter how many trainings you give your employees if you're not going to hold yourself accountable. Setting that tone is so important. Rod, what can you add?
Well, you said setting the tone is important. And if you think about it, I'm going to refer to Martin Luther King, who had an incredible following because he had a vision. He has a dream. And so it was that dream that really sparked interest that others could buy into and saying, hey, if he has that dream, I could have that dream too. Obviously, that was a little bigger than a single entrepreneur, but he was definitely a leader that was able to communicate effectively his belief, his passion, and he never wavered from that. So in terms of my advice to any entrepreneur, as you get up in the morning and you're headed to work, my suggestion would be that you pause for a second and that you think about how you want to walk through the door and what message your presence is going to make. Be calm. Be passionate. Play the character that you want others to embrace and follow.
And I think that's important. Just as the leader's behavior is contagious, so are the employees. I'm sure many of us listening on at some point can resonate to that worker who would tarnish the company morale or just really be a pain in the side when things are going well. You want to have everybody on the same page, everybody on board as a leader. If you're brought into an organization, of course, what are some tips, Rod, that may help that transition where, okay, a lot of times they wipe out the level of leadership underneath them, a new leader hire because everybody needs to be on the same page. But rather than wiping everybody out, what are some things you can offer to help get everybody in more alignment?
One of the things that I've done in the past that I encourage others to do is to find out how people are feeling today. If you had to rate your degree of satisfaction on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low and 10 being high, what would you rate it? And you can tap into how your troops are feeling by just simply asking them, how would you rate your degree of satisfaction? With a follow-up question, well, why do you rate it that way? Tell me your thinking behind it. And it really, the leader then is showing that they really care about the people that are working for them and that they are interested in helping them be more passionate and more fulfilled working for the company. So the idea being, whatever the number is that the employee comes up with, just say, well, what can we do to make it better? And sort of recruit them to be part of the leadership team, but regardless of what their position or title is, to try to make the company better and build a better future.
Getting that feedback, very, very crucial. Great point, Rod. Thank you so much for sharing that. And as you're getting that feedback, I think you'll also have a better idea of where strengths and weaknesses are for the company, maybe prioritizing and delegating things, which is the last area we're going to touch on today for our second out of four episodes with this Rod Buchan bonus series. And as all entrepreneurs know, you live and die by your ability to prioritize. This suggested by Jessica Jackley, co-founder over at Kiva and later co-founder and CEO of Profounder. You must focus on the most important mission-critical tasks each day and night, and then share, delegate, delay, or skip the rest. That's great advice, and I know it's easier said than done as someone who not too long ago like me was in a solopreneur situation, bootstrapping, not able to delegate, but saying that you are in the position to delegate and share, Rod, what are your takeaways with this part?
Well, I think one of the things that a leader can do, and I mentioned, you know, thinking about the role you want to play and how you want to come across when you show up at work each day, one of the things you could do in that process is to decide what's important for us to accomplish today, and then be able to articulate that. Just saying, hey, our focus for today is we're going to reach out to our critical customers and make sure that they are being taken care of. That's our priority for today. And the idea then being that rather than reorganize the office or do some other things that may need to be done eventually, they're not really going to build your relationship with your customers as much as a personal touch of reaching out and finding out what's going on with them. And I keep thinking about Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. The one that resonates with me the most is habit number 5, which is seek first to understand and then to be understood. So whether it goes back to what we talked about a couple minutes ago of seeking to understand what your teammates or employees are feeling and thinking, it's just as important to do that with your customers. And the idea being, if you set a foreseeable target each day, which is, hey, this is today's priority, or this is this week's priority, and then in the process, making sure that everybody understands what their role is to make it happen, so that the sum of the accomplishments each day add up to the company's top priority. So you're delegating responsibility, because you can't do it all yourself, to the people that are going to actually execute the priority for the day. And one way to validate that is, once the leader has communicated that to the troops, to ask each individual, okay, what are you going to do to make this happen? So that they're confirming that the message that they've delivered has actually been received and will be acted upon.
You touched a lot there. Overarching theme, communication, you would say, is a bit important here.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs have a very clear idea of what it is that they want to accomplish, or their vision. And it goes back to what we talked about on our last thing, that clearly defining the future in a way that everyone can understand it, so there's no wiggle room for misunderstanding, is one of the critical leadership components from a communication perspective. So that the message that you have is the one that's actually received and understood and able to be embraced and acted upon by the people that are working with you.
Another good point there, making sure that what you're setting up, the employees can embrace it and they can actually be successful in the means you're setting up. That would probably go back to knowing your audience, knowing your staff, really getting the chance to know it's not a one size fits all in business. Rod, another lights out show. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me and my audience for another show. To wrap up, we ended off with prioritizing and delegating. In the middle, we talked about setting the tone, and we kicked off this show with talking about how leaders are lighthouses. Where can we find you, Rod, to say hello and book a discovery call?
The best way to get a hold of me is on my email, which is Rod, R-O-D as in David, last name Buchan, B as in boy, U-C-H-E-N as in Nancy, the number 48 at gmail.com. And one of the things that I'd like to share with your entrepreneurs is, everyone has a different starting point and a different desired end point. And one of the things that I get passionate about is helping, as a thinking and execution partner, saying, okay, let's figure out where it is you are today and where you want to be. And then I'll roll up my sleeves and help make that happen. So I really encourage anyone that is struggling to realize their dream to pick up the phone or send me an email, and we'll set up a phone conversation so that we can really have an impact on your business in a very positive way.
I love it. Well, thank you for sharing that, everyone. Please be sure to go to his LinkedIn or send him an email. Be sure to say hello. And the show is at That Entrepreneur Show. I am at Vincent A. Lancey. Be sure to give us some follows and head to YouTube for That Entrepreneur Show channel under my page, Vincent A. Lancey. Like and subscribe. Rod, thank you so much for stopping by.
Always a pleasure, Vincent. Take care.